But
when I look at waveforms, Jim, you're the only one that's close to clipping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're looking really hot.
Thanks.
Well, you're welcome, Pulse Flower.
Hold on, I don't think my video is working.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the latest episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chattagooner on the Twitter, and I am joined tonight with by Shelly and Todd, and we're sitting here to talk a little bit about CFC and the week that was. We had some news this week I'm sure we're going to get to that, a little bittersweet, but before we do that, before we talk about what's going on around the club, maybe around the league, which, you know, heads up, there's not a lot going around the league. We have a great guest, somebody else. We like to bring on folks from the FO to talk a little bit about the inner workings of the club. And I am very happy to have Sam Click on the call tonight. Sam is kind of started as an intern and fell in love with Chattanooga, and CFC fell in love with him. And now he is on the staff. And just for those of you who have bullied me the last couple of days, Sam did sell me an annual pass a couple of days ago. He can tell you the exact minute and second if you're interested. Sam, how are things where you are? And how, I know that you just got back from trying to sell some tickets down at Highland Park. So how are things with you?
I am doing great, and thank you guys so much for having me on the podcast. And yes, I have been running around slinging tickets all over town, it seems like. So I just got done at HBC at about 7:50, and I was here at 8 o'clock to start this podcast. And for any of you who are interested, Jim did buy his annual pass, if we're talking military time, at 1937 and 22 seconds.
I'll need a visual confirmation of that.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to need you to tweet that, if you don't mind, so we have hardcore facts for a court.
I fully expected him to see him at the ticket window Saturday.
Stop.
Or purchasing it while in line.
One, please.
Stop it.
Admit
Stop
one. It.
Yeah, I told,
I'm proud of you. You got it before Saturday.
I did tell Sam before, you know, like when the word came out that that, you know, tickets were going on sale or annual passes are going on sale, I told myself this year is going to be different. I'm not going to wait till the last minute. And then, you know, January 22nd and 23rd or whenever it was came around and I still hadn't bought them. So
I hope you didn't get your usual seat.
Well, so there's a funny story too. Sam, you know, and Sam really was on the ball here. So I do have two passes already. And they sent me them, like, you know, Sam, you sent me them like in November, right after things opened up. I promptly, of course, forgot that he had done that. And so when I emailed him, after I purchased the one ticket, and I was like, hey, can I get these three together? Or I need to get two more. He's like, no, Jim, I emailed you that in December or whenever it was. So I was like, oh,
so really, you're exposing yourself about how slack you really are in this.
Yeah. Not only am I procrastinating, I then completely forgot that Sam had already helped me out.
Forgetful procrastinator.
Exactly.
Well, just remember, Jim, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah. Well, Sam is, you know, Sam's a solid person. I mean, I'll just say this, and we're all really great. It's great to have him on the team. So Sam, if you could a little bit, I know that, you know, you've shared some stories at Chattahooligan Social Hours and other places about kind of how you came to the club, but for the couple of people who listen to this, who don't go to those, you could talk a little bit about, because you have an interesting story about how you got here, and kind of, you know, why you're here and how you came to be a full-time member of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. So It all started back in the, I guess it was actually the tail end of 2020, is when I first reached out to the club with interest in interning. I had never stepped foot in Chattanooga before. I had never been to the town. And basically, I started out with a love of lower division soccer when I was about 14 years old. And since there was only one or two MLS games on a week on TV, I wanted to get the MLS Live Pass. That was like $75. My dad said, "You have $75?" I said, "No." So long story short, the NASL pass was only $20. And that's...
Oh, bargain buy.
Wow.
So I bought it. And I started, it really opened me up to a whole new world of lower division clubs that I had not really previously known about. So that's kind of what got me into the lower division soccer scene when I was tail end of middle school into like freshman year of high school and stuff around 13 or 14. And then I kind of figured out what I wanted to do pretty early on, that I wanted to work for a soccer club one day. And selfishly down south, because I'm cold all the time, and I'm from West Virginia, for those of you who don't know. So I went to Marshall University, and I reached out to the info line, just sent a cold email into the info line, kind of saying a little bit of my story, why I was interested in Chattanooga Football Club, because from the outside, it looked like such an attractive place to land because of the fantastic, you know, fan support that CFC has. It was very intriguing to me. And before you know it, little did I know, Jeremy ran the info line. So he reached out, asked to set up a phone call with me. We talked for about 25 minutes over the phone. And yeah, long story short, they offered me an internship position. The only thing that I asked of the club was like, "Hey, I've never been to Chattanooga before. I don't have any connections in Chattanooga." Obviously, internships this day and age are largely unpaid and stuff like that. So I was like, "Hey, I'm in. Like, I want to come down and do it." I was like, I need a little bit of help just trying to find a place to live. You know, something that makes a little bit of financial sense for me to come down for the summer. And long story short, after some harrowing experiences and one night in my car at the Signal Mountain Walmart, hooked up with Bill Bolin, lovely Bill Bolin, and he offered me his camper to stay in for the summer. So had never even met Bill face to face, anything like that, and he trusted me enough to lend me his camper, and I lived in the camper at Camp Jordan for a little while, and then I got a 2-day notice that was no longer going to be allowed at Camp Jordan. Because
was it back to the Walmart parking lot after that?
It was not. So I really don't want to spend too much time on this whole camper story, but you guys got to hear this. It was like, so basically what had happened is the city of East Ridge did not allow long-term camping, which I don't know what the official time frame is for it to be considered long term, but I assume it's like anything more than 2 weeks. Anyway, so I had been there for about a month and a half because they were like, they told me at the campsite that it was okay.
They told you to either set up a pawn shop or get out.
Basically what happened is like they told me that it would be okay because I was anyway, they told me it would be okay, and I was like the only person there. And then they were
hurting for spots.
They started adding some other people in there. And when I tell you they were on some Trailer Park Boys foolishness, it got pretty out of hand by not from me, but I mean, it was like, there was some absolute craziness going on out there. And so I think the other people blew my cover. So we all got asked to leave.
They thought you were guilty by association.
Yeah. Yes. We all got asked to leave. And then basically a couple houses in between that the foundation had just got a hold of in between the two fields over at Highland Park Commons got under the control of the CFC Foundation, and they were completely gutted. Didn't have anything in them, just stripped to the bone. But they said I could park the camper in the... in the driveway of one of the houses. So I would go into the abandoned house to shower.
Oh my gosh. This is out of control.
And so that situation was actually, I preferred that situation. I would literally get six, and there was a group of people that would show up at my door Wednesday at 6 a.m. every Wednesday and knock and ask me to come play soccer before work and stuff. So it was honestly a great experience. It was also pretty funny, the look on people's faces when I'd get done playing Tuesday night pickup at like 10 o'clock and everybody's walking to their cars and I'm like, all right, guys, I'm going home. And then I'd get into the camper. They'd be like, what? but yeah, so that was the second half of the summer. And the camper was moved closer to downtown, which is great. And then finished up my internship. I had one semester left back for my senior year at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. So I went back up north, was doing my thing up at school, and Jeremy reached out basically and offered me a position in the front office upon graduation. So I moved down to Chattanooga to officially start working for the club last January. So I've been here about a year fully. Now, and now I am the ticket services manager for Chattanooga Football Club, and I am super, super happy to be here. Last year was absolutely fantastic, and I'm looking forward to doing another great year here shortly. So,
Sam, I want to go back in your story just a little bit, and if I may, if you will allow me this,
absolutely.
Just picturing a 14-year-old Sam Click getting the NASL package. So did you have a lot of friends you guys would like hang out and, you know, was NASL big where you were at?
I would definitely not say it was big where I was at. I definitely did get my friends into it a bit.
So basically it was like you, three buddies, and it turned into a Dungeons and Dragons Stranger Things situation in the basement.
Oh, 100%. You should have seen us during the Open Cup. It was like, we'd be like, oh my God, the Fort Lauderdale Strikers just scored on, you know, whoever the heck they were playing. But like, we were all in. We were all in on the NASL. And then, of course, the NASL was all in on going bankrupt pretty shortly.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. They're probably like looking over this TV map and they're like, you know, we got this one hot spot that keeps coming up in West Virginia.
Somehow we need
to harness that energy.
I used to tweet at their page and ask them to put a club in Huntington or Charleston. I used to do it all the time.
Where did you grow up in West Virginia?
Oh, you guys are gonna like this. You guys are gonna like this. I grew up in a town called Cross Lanes, West Virginia.
Okay.
The town is called Cross Lanes because we have two roads and they meet each other at an intersection.
Listen. I'm from Blacksburg, Virginia, just right down. You know, yeah, just not too far.
Over the mountain is the phrase you're looking for.
And
over the mountain.
I mean, so you've got Bluefield, which is like, you know, bluegrass field. And you got Institute, Nitro. I mean, come on. There's lots of nice little towns in West Virginia. So
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned Nitro. That's where I went to high school.
Okay.
Yeah, Cross Lanes,
I know where Nitro is.
Yeah, Cross Lanes doesn't have a public high school or anything. So just across the way over in Nitro is where I went to high school and played my high school soccer days and all that good stuff.
It's right off 64.
Is it the high school where you won your championship?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Nitro. Yeah. Yeah, we won the 2017 West Virginia State Championship. Great moment. Great moment for me personally.
So you're here, you're doing stuff with tickets, and how's life been as a member of the FO, and maybe how's life been the last week after we heard the news that Jeremy is moving on?
Yeah, no, those are great questions, and I love being part of the front office. I spent pretty much all of last year as kind of splitting my time 50-50 between the ticket team and the corporate partnerships team. So Madison, I worked closely with Madison on the corporate partnerships team as well. And I kind of just now moved into this new role where I'm going to be primarily over ticketing. But just the atmosphere and family that we have built in the CFC front office is just absolutely indescribable, really. I mean, we are a very close-knit group. We work very well together. We're very open. And thankfully, we have the right processes in place to where we really have a lot of fun with it, but we all hold each other accountable. And I think we've helped, you know, guide the club to be in a really great place, as it already was before any of us got here. But yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. As for the news that dropped last week, obviously I was pretty gutted. We all were. Mm-hmm. We were all pretty crushed to hear, but you know, it is Jeremy is moving on to an absolutely fantastic opportunity that you know, anybody would have been a fool to turn down. So we're very proud of him. We're very happy for him. But yeah, no, it definitely hurt. It took a little, you know, a couple hours of a mourning period that day to kind of, before we could kind of shake it off and get, put our head down and get back to work for this Atlanta United game. But, you know, it's funny because I kind of likened it to committing to a college to play for a head coach almost.
yeah.
You know, it's like you commit because you love the school and also because, you know, the coaching staff was a right fit. And, you know, in this case, one of the biggest reasons I had to come down here full time and move to Chattanooga was, you know, that coach was Jeremy for me. And I was but, you know, at the other part of it was that I loved the city and I loved the club and I loved everything around it. So definitely a tough pill to swallow at first. But we are super excited for this year. We think it's going to be a great year for the club, and you know, Jeremy will be on to big success as he leaves us in Chattanooga, but you know, he'll be around for sure, and we're excited to attack this 2023 season.
Yeah, it's interesting you said.
Ask you a question real quick about, I don't want to spend too much time talking to you about Jeremy, but I think we're in a unique situation to ask you, and may not be able to ask anybody else at the club. What do you see as the legacy he leaves behind? You talked about family. You talked about the culture that you guys have created there and him being a main driver for you coming down. So what do you think he leaves behind as his legacy at CFC?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I think, you know, I think you guys could definitely speak on this too. But I think the culture that he's helped build in our front office is the type of culture that the fans of this club deserve. And, you know, I think there's a lot of similarities between how, you know, the CFC fan base and front office operates, if that makes sense. I know that's kind of a weird statement to say, but I feel like we're all on the same page here. I mean, we're all total for CFC. I think we both have a, you know, the fan base and, in general, in the front office, I think we share a lot of the same values, and Jeremy saw that in each and every person that he brought into the club, and you know, people who had been around before him that have stuck around. I think he did a great job of getting like-minded individuals in to really keep this thing operating. So, you know, as he leaves, there's really very large pieces of Jeremy and the mindset that he's created for all of us, you know, still with us. So in many ways, a lot of Jeremy's processes and great marks that he's made on the club are still going to be in that office every day, making sure that, you know, nothing changes that doesn't need to be changed, and the things that can continue to improve and get better, continue to improve and get better.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we've talked about multiple times about coming up for this weekend. So tell us a little bit about the season and how the ticket sales are going, especially how ticket sales are going for Saturday, because I mean, obviously earlier friendly, there's a lot of buzz. We've played Atlanta their very first season. So kind of give us some backstory on that and how we're doing on the ticket sale front.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I am super, super excited for Saturday. And, you know, generally speaking about this, you know, this preseason game coming up on Saturday against Atlanta United, and even more broad, just how tickets have gone in the off season in terms of flex packages and annual passes, we are in a fantastic spot. So I don't mind telling you that we are already at about 5,000 tickets sold for the Atlanta United game. Which is, you know, since I've been around the club, is far and away the biggest crowd. And we generally, you know, at the time of recording, it is currently Thursday night. We generally do most of our, at least half, I would say, sometimes, Friday and Saturday, in terms of the ticket trends that generally seem to increase. So we expect tomorrow to be a huge day. And we think the weather's looking really good, knock on wood, for Saturday as well. So we're expecting, you know, a lot of online transactions, as well as a lot of people walking up to purchase at the box office. So this is far and away the biggest CFC crowd that I will have ever experienced. And, you know, I've seen the pictures and the stories and everything about some of the previous record holders that the club has been able to achieve. And it'll, you know, for those of you who have been around for those days, it's going to feel like old time, so to speak, I'm sure, because it's going to be a very, very, very raucous crowd at Finley on Saturday.
Hey, Sam, I got a question about ticket sales. Just for those who are, you know, they're going to do it. They're going to wait and they're not going to get their tickets online, or they're going to wait to the last day and try to get their tickets online. What are the box office? What's it looking like for that day? How many booths are y'all going to have open? Are you going to be open at the pavilion end? That sort of thing. Kind of paint the picture for what Saturday looks like.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And operationally, we have actually kind of done a hybrid of what we've done in the past. It's going to be more of an express type situation. I'll explain what that means in a second. But thankfully, obviously, there's going to be a lot of Atlanta fans in the house, and we're excited to welcome them back to the scenic city. But as far as traveling fans go on their end, I do not think that is going to affect our walk-up crowd that much, because I feel like at a lot of levels, a big trend across sports is completely removing the box office. So teams like Atlanta and supporters of teams like that are probably don't even realize that box office is even an option. And we don't really advertise our box office that much either, because we're trying to move, you know, I don't think we're ever fully going to ditch it, but we definitely try to push as much as we can to be online these days. So we're not expecting too many Atlanta fans to affect our walk-up crowd. But, of course, some folks that haven't been to CFC games in a long time and may just, you know, be coming out and curious for the first time, that we think will probably kind of contribute to bigger than normal. So we will be set up. We will have a couple people working one main ticket booth that we're going to have. We're going to have it outside of what the confines of what the normal ticket booth is at Finley Stadium, because it's pretty small and kind of hard to hear from and not that efficient. So we are going to have tents set up in front of the stadium at the south gates where the St. Elmo entrances are. And we are basically going to be doing express ticketing. So we have been working hard behind the scenes to get ready for that. So we basically have pre-printed a bunch of tickets, and I made kind of like a hybrid product online that we can sell a strictly box office ticket from. And we anticipate the lines going a lot faster than normal. And this is also a good problem to have and a good update for you guys to know. We are about 99% certain that midfield club seating will be sold out by Saturday morning. So that is obviously one less option for people if they waited too long and are walking up. So that makes the process even faster, because at that point, all that will be left are the general reserve seats, which is making this express system possible.
That's awesome. Well, also keeping in mind for Saturday, and we obviously had some changes last year whenever we had the new security, you know, gates that you walked through. Something big, is there going to be any additional security you can tell people about, or things they need to know about checking their bags? Because that's always a big thing whenever it's a high profile match that we're having, because we know that security has to be a little bit different. So anything that you can tell us on that end of things?
Yeah, I would definitely, you know, like you said, at the end of last year where the process, you know, kind of got beefed up a little bit, so to speak, expect those same processes to be in order. However, Finley Stadium, we are going to have that basically twice as large as normal. And what I mean by that is we're going to have more lines to funnel people through to help alleviate, you know, obviously the bigger crowd that we're expected. So we're gonna have more lines, so we expect things are gonna work more efficiently. But there isn't any crazy drastic change in terms of, oh, this has always been allowed, but it's not for this game or anything like that. So you can expect some continuity on that front, but we are definitely gonna have more lines. We're gonna have the Foundry gates open on the Reggie White Boulevard side of the stadium, as well as the main St. Elmo gate open at the south end of the stadium.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to Saturday. I know that Brian and the Finley staff have been tweeting all week about improvements and teasing new things to see. So I think the buzz is really, really good. So I hope that I would personally love to see us have to move into the north side of the stands. You know, that would be pretty awesome if we could do that.
Yeah, that's always fun to think about, for sure. And Brian has been fantastic to work with, and there definitely are going to be some cool game day improvements I don't know if you guys saw the new grab and go section near the 109, but there's going to be a grab and go beer section. And, you know, personally, that I'm excited because maybe I'll get to grab and go one while nobody's
I mean, it's the least they could do for all your hard work trying to get ticket sales up.
Well, we also saw that I can't remember if it was Brian or who tweeted out that there are more
local beer options,
like box seating. No, I'm talking about more people have paid for box seating.
For box seating than any other match so far. Yeah, that came out today.
And so it really is a lot of excitement around this match. It was also, I don't know how much you can speak to this. This may be more of an academy or like the coaches side of this, but there's also a special opportunity for soccer coaches or fans who just want to learn a little bit more about the game to go through some training before and then after the match. Do you know anything about, that special session?
So I would do a disservice to the session because I don't have a lot of information on it. You are correct in that it is being offered, and it is a great opportunity, as well as the skybox usage that you mentioned. They're operating at a much larger scale than what they normally are for our games. And that's a mix of ones that we went out to sell and, you know, people that own the boxes year round that are coming out to see this CFC match.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome.
Don't. So that's really, really good traction for
players.
Yeah. And I saw that the Coca-Cola field side, like the pitch side, is all sold out now too.
Yes. Yeah. And that is with our expanded capacity that we kind of added for this game. So that's all good news.
Love to see it. Now, is there I don't know how much you know about the team that Atlanta fields currently. Obviously, they had some players that have left since last season. Is there any specific player you are excited to see maybe take the field against us on Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, I don't get keyed in on necessarily exactly who's going to be suiting up to do what, but I think the most exciting prospect to think about, of course, is Thiago Almada coming off of the World Cup winning squad for Argentina. So, you know, unfortunately, like I said, I don't know exactly who's going to be in there and suiting up, but that's definitely the one that pops out to me that I'm excited to hopefully see out there. And I mean, just imagine the first game back in action after winning the World Cup in Chattanooga.
It's Tennessee. Against Chattanooga.
We were
talking. We're pretty sure this will be the first time there's ever been a men's World Cup winner take the field in Chattanooga. So that's kind of a really unique thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely hopeful that it happens. And we're expecting Atlanta to bring the heat with their squad, especially at first, and then mix in, you know, some trialists and academy people, just as we're going to do with our side too.
Yep. So there's been a lot of good media on this. Channel 3 has done some good stuff. I know Coach, for those, if you really want to hear a little bit more about who might be playing and learn a little bit more about the Atlanta United side of things, the Scarves and Spikes podcast had Coach on yesterday, I believe, or I think last night. So you can see that they do have a YouTube channel, Shelly. So you can go see what a YouTube podcast might look like.
Well, I would know. I envision what it would look like. You just won't let us do it, Jim.
No, we're not good.
Or they can listen to our previous episode where Jason Longshore drops some, gives us some hints too.
Yeah.
To which I was about to say, I did notice one of the things he was talking about was the possibility of their center back, whose name just flew right out of my head, Miles Robinson. It looks like he is now participating in full side training back at Atlanta United. So I wouldn't be shocked if he got a run out.
We saw him there.
If he got a run out maybe on Saturday.
But who are we kidding? We're not here. We're not there to see the five stripes, whatever they call themselves. We're here to we're going to be there to see the boys in blue. And I know that we've got a new signing that I think has happened since we have talked. And well, he's not new to us, I should say, but he is re-signed, and that's Colin Stripling. I think that's the only signing that has happened since we've talked. But it was good to see Colin back. I don't know, Sam. You know what are your thoughts on the players that are back since you are a high quality soccer player yourself, where are you looking at in terms of needs that we still need to have met in the squad going forward?
Well, that's a great question, and I know the one thing everybody wanted to ask last night was what our center back situation
was. Right.
But no, really, I think we're in a good spot in building up the squad, and obviously, as you guys know, it's kind of a trickle down economics of sorts when it comes to being in the third division and signing players. So I think we have an exciting group, and I'm definitely really happy about the current players that we have that are returning. I don't spend a ton of time with them outside of the office. But you know, from time to time, I definitely have hung out with quite a few of them, and they're all really great people off the field too. So I think we've got a great group that's going to gel really well on the pitch and off the pitch. So, but yeah, I know a lot of people were a little worried about the center back situation, but I know, you know, we're in talks with a lot of people. We have some people that are very high up on our list, and, you know, with a lot of the second division clubs will be making their final roster determinations over the course of, really last week and this weekend for sure. And so then after that, you know, is when we'll be, you know, sealing the deal with some of the people that we have on our list, and, you know, maybe picking up one or two that unexpectedly become available that we would love to have. So I think we're really, really in a good spot there.
Hey, I was hoping you'd give an update. There was a, at tryouts, there was a really interesting player, and I was wondering if you, I thought maybe we would kind of, we may sign this guy. His name was Cam Slick. Do you know the status on him? Because, I mean, he looked really sharp.
Yeah, so, we were really hoping we might see him on the field Saturday.
I heard they were so impressed with him that they didn't even need him to finish the trial.
That's pretty awesome. Right. I mean, that speaks loads for
him. Did they tell him just to go right up to the box and just wait there for his contract?
Yeah, I think he immediately went to get fitted. They did tell him he needed some new cleats, so I think he had to go get that taken care of. But no, honestly, he had a great run out there. I think he scared some of the other players a little bit that were at the tryout. They certainly didn't know what the hell was going on, but he dazzled the right people. That's all.
Yeah. So, Sam, what are the origins of your alter ego, Cam Slick?
Yeah, so the origin is not as the origin is pretty spontaneous. So I'm not gonna lie.
Wait a minute, that was Sam?
Wait, Todd.
What? I thought
for the purposes of simplicity, we'll say it was.
Okay.
Hypothetically,
I'm
it
shocked.
Was Sam.
Hypothetically.
Okay, hypothetically.
But really, you know, it was kind of an idea that was bounced around the ticketing office once or twice and kind of died after that. I didn't really bring it up to anybody because first and foremost, and this is, you know, a serious, very serious, I did not want to disrupt the trial, especially, you know, for those out there who, you know, really were getting a good look and stuff like that. So when I came up with the original idea was for myself and Jack Bradshaw to kind of go out there and be mic'd up, really no disguises or anything, and just kind of actually participate in the trial. But like I said, I basically decided that was a bad idea, because I didn't want to, you know, mess with any of the drills or mess with any of the other trialists. So, you know, the news came out last week about Jeremy, and basically Friday morning I was kind of sitting in the office and talking to Darrell, who manages most of our content. And I was just like, you know, I had this idea. I was like, we could really use some good lighthearted content. I was like, but I just didn't want to mess with the trial. And he was like, well, it's fine. He's like, he said, just come and, we'll throw you in the warmups, and then I'll tap one of the coaches on the shoulder or something and tell him what you're up to, and we'll get you thrown out of there. So basically when I showed up, nobody had any idea what was going on. So credit to Darrell for convincing me to do it. I was not originally supposed to have like a backstory, like a name or like a set costume. I just kind of woke up Saturday morning and decided that that was the way it should be done.
And the mustache alone, I think that was really hit home.
yeah. So
it went perfectly with Cam's blonde hair.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're telling me that wasn't planned, that was just something that was off the cuff. I mean, I would have never guessed that from seeing the video.
It was pretty off the cuff. I said I was going to put my hair up and stuff just so I wasn't like immediately noticeable that, right. Oh, hey, that's Sam, you know, right there. But, you know, I didn't, I joked around about maybe trying to go to like the Dollar Tree and like spray painting my hair blue or something.
Oh no.
but yeah, the mustache and glasses and all that was, and the fake name, that was all last minute decision.
Well, you could have had a snood on like up over your face. It was kind of cold enough for that to be legit. So.
Yeah, but I think that might have given away something early on to the trialist. Did any of the trialists actually say anything to you? Did you hang around afterwards?
So I didn't get – this is actually really funny. So I didn't get – I think a lot of people were kind of scared of me at first because they thought that, like, you know, it was – somebody had a screw loose and they were, like, showing up.
Because it was open tryout, so anyone paid to register.
Yeah, so I walked into the circle when they were all huddling up, and like I kept kind of bobbing and weaving like as a joke to like try to get my face in front of the coaches from the back, and I locked eyes with Coach Rod, and he just started laughing in the middle, like he just started laughing because he had no idea like we just kind of started laughing a little bit, and but yeah, the players all thought I was nuts. So when we were in the warm up line and I was, you know, asking people if they had goal celebrations and stuff like that, pretty much nobody was talking to me. There was one, the guy who was right in front of me finally kind of started to talk to me a little bit and joke around with me and stuff like that. But later in the trial, after I'd already, you know, been asked to leave by Jordan, a group got over to Chris Ray's station, and Chris was joking, and he's like, what happened to that guy in the glasses from the beginning? And the players legitimately were like, oh, they told him to leave.
Oh, that's awesome.
They told him he had to go. And so I don't know if you can really tell from the video, but right where Jordan kicked me out and asked me to leave, the goalie trialists were warming up right beside of him, and they looked like they were in Beyond Scared Straight. they were like, oh, okay, this is like no nonsense. Like if we're like, you know, if we're not on our good behavior and here to be serious, they're gonna ask me to leave. So it was pretty funny because like, and when I came back, like, you know, fully dressed in like warmer clothes because it was pretty cold and stuff, and I had my hair down and whatnot. But like, a couple people were talking about it like right next to me. And they didn't realize it was me.
that mustache.
They didn't realize it was me. So it was pretty funny that, nobody, they weren't really in on it. So they thought it was some lunatic that came out to make the team in cleats that were half busted open.
So is Cam really close friends with Chad Powers?
Yeah. They actually just recorded a podcast together. I'm sure it'll be going live soon. Yeah,
I can't wait to hear this.
I wondered if he knew Chad, because Chad tried to do that same thing up at Penn State, and so I didn't know if Chad and Cam were really good friends, or if you may have talked to Chad about how to do that, or any hints about how to kind of lay low in a tryout.
Yeah, it's a tough art to master, but Chad's got some really good connections in the makeup world. Unfortunately, I don't, but. Or Cam doesn't, I should say.
You almost slipped up.
That was close. We can edit that out, right?
Maybe we can see if Cam Slit could come be one of the singers of the national anthem this season.
Oh yeah, well,
I would not.
Come back as maybe you can be a walkout kid, something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed for some I might even recruit him to come in on the ticketing team one day. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, maybe we can see Cam up on the capo stand. Mustache and all.
Yeah, well, he is definitely looking for some employment. I can tell you that.
Maybe one of our partners can get him some good job leads.
Hopefully.
Well, I don't know. Anything else, Sam, that we haven't asked you about that you feel like folks would want to hear? We're still waiting on, we could probably go down the NISA rabbit hole and talk a lot about that, but we're still waiting on a schedule from them. And but anything else that you feel like we need to talk about or touch on?
Nothing super specific. Obviously, I know we're all anticipating or anxiously waiting, I guess I should say, getting the NISA schedule and getting that out there. I know personally, I will be really excited to get it and start selling some tickets and getting groups nailed down and stuff like that. But we do really have an exciting preseason schedule for everybody. So, I don't know if you guys mentioned this in the last episode, but we have one Knoxville coming to town.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This week too on Twitter, which is awesome.
Yeah, one Knox is going to be coming to town on Saturday, March 4th, and we're going to have that fully operating like a normal game day, open to ticket sales, annual passes, flex, all that good stuff. And we're anticipating a pretty fun group from Knoxville. Their supporters probably going to be able to make it down and make that atmosphere a really good one. That's definitely something to look forward to, as well as a annual pass only game that we're going to have against MLS. Yeah. MLS Next Pros, Huntsville City FC. So we're really excited. We're really excited. Those two games are going to be pretty unique and pretty fun as a nice appetizer before we get into our league play.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Sam. I had it pulled up to talk about the preseason because we did have some announcements this week about that. But yeah, we're kicking off with Atlanta United. Then on February 11th, we're going over to Memphis to play a closed door friendly with 901. There's still, I think this is a, we're working on a college team for the 18th. I'm not really sure that one has that on the website that hasn't been announced yet, but again, it's closed. It'll be here, but it'll be a closed friendly. Then we head down to Birmingham. Birmingham and Memphis have been our preseason kind of friendlies for the last couple of years. So we go down there for another closed door. Do you know last year, maybe the year before, the closed door friendly in Birmingham was streamed. Do you know if either the Memphis or the Birmingham friendlies will be streamed?
I am not 100% sure. I have not been given that information. Okay. So, and honestly, I don't really know enough about the trends to know what the likelihood would be. USL, I believe, is starting their schedule mid-March, so I wouldn't be surprised if they want to keep it a little bit on low. And really, honestly, us for Open Cup purposes as well. So, I'm not 100% sure there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that really worked out for Memphis last year in the Open Cup.
I know.
It worked out well for us. I think we drew, if I remember correctly, I think we drew them 1-1 in the preseason.
Yeah, the preseason. Yes.
Yeah, and then,
and stomped their hearts whenever they came here.
Yeah, it took us about 45 seconds to get a goal when they came here to the fourth inning. So, fun things there. Maybe we'll see a repeat of that this year. Who knows?
So it's pretty awesome. We are playing, just for anybody keeping track, we're playing teams from USL League One, USL Championship, MLS Next Pro, and MLS in the preseason. So all of the different levels of professional
and a college squad to be determined.
And a college squad.
And, well, and a college squad. And I think we're also going to be playing maybe an amateur team or two in some other kind of closed door scrimmages. They probably won't be, you know, they may be kind of almost, you know, more like practices than competitive games. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, this preseason is, you know, you talk about people who have procrastinated, like me included. You know, this preseason came really quickly. And
it did. It feels like the season just ended. It really did.
I mean, I was really I was pleasantly surprised to hear about the Atlanta United friendly, but man, when I heard it was like the end of January, I was thinking, well, this is real early for us. And and so you're talking about the, like, people being worried about not having center backs or not having players. I mean, this is 2 weeks before we normally would start. And so,
yeah,
that's, I mean, I don't think we're behind. It just feels like we're behind because we got a game on Saturday.
Yeah. What I was just thinking, something I've been thinking since Saturday too, is can you imagine being these trialists and your first matches that,
oh my God,
well, the first matches are going to be in front of fans. No, yeah. Like, one, you're going to be in front of the Chattahooligans, but also Atlanta's fans. But then these teams that you're playing, like, I'm a trialist for CFC, and I could be playing, like, the people that I could be playing against, people that are on the men's national team, World Cup winners. I mean, that's just massive. Not that they didn't have anything to prove before, but this is, like, in their wildest dreams, I'm sure they didn't think when they were coming to try out, man, these are the teams I could be playing against before we even get to the season in general.
Well, we heard, I can't remember who said this to us, but we heard about that they were talking about the players coming into the stands for the first time. And these players had really never played before a crowd before, either in college or at other levels of professional soccer. And that they were, I don't know if it was Coach Rod or maybe, I don't know if it was on our pod or somewhere else, where he said that they were anxious because of the crowd that they were facing. So imagine these trialists, who, for one, probably have never played in front of a big crowd. Two, it's going to be a huge crowd. And then, like, you're right, they're going up against an MLS team and players who they've seen on, you know, in Qatar. So, I mean, it's I can't imagine. I'm a little worried about. I'd love to know from the coaching standpoint, like how much of a do they look at how the players perform in this type of friendly differently than they might in against 901 or Birmingham Legion, just because of the caliber of opponent, and just they're going to be walking into a I mean, we're likely, you know, you said we've already sold 5,000, and you mentioned that we're a kind of a walk up community. I mean, there could be 7,500 people in the stands. Mm-hmm.
Supporters full of drums yelling and screaming.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be intimidating. I can't imagine being a trialist in that environment. Well,
and the fact that, okay, they had tryouts not even a full week ago, so they've only been practicing together for 4 days now. I mean, that's pretty heavy as well. So you're getting your bearings and getting used to the amount of training and things.
Look,
like
they're
that.
The ones that showed up for the CFC tryout, okay? Like, I mean, you knew what you signed up for. This was already announced.
Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I again, they can know what they're signing up for, but they walk out of that tunnel.
Yeah, no, yeah. Expectations versus reality are two vastly different things in this scenario.
I would be very interested to talk to the coaching staff, maybe even kind of some of the other staff after the game is over about what they, you know, kind of what they.
Well, you know, that's another thing too. Rod showed last year in the U.S. Open Cup match that he's not going to change the way he plays for the opponent, including against Atlanta. So, you know, I think you'll see us come out and try to play in the same vein as we always do. And I think while, yes, it'll be, the opponent will be in consideration, but still, like, how you're able to hold down your position in terms of maintaining shape, I think, and things of that nature, I think will, I think you'll take that into consideration.
Yeah, but I think the biggest difference right now, too, is that we have a very green team, new team. You know, we have a lot of trialists and a lot of new to us players, you know, playing for us. So I'm curious to see what that impact's going to be, especially as they kind of get their bearings with our returning players who were together at least 1 year, if not two or more.
So again, Sam, hey, thanks so much for coming on. Before we go, I want to give, I've told folks that I want to end every episode with kind of what's making you smile this week. So this could be anything. It could be something soccer related. It could be just life related. It could be something you've seen, watched, or read. What, Sam, what's making you smile this week?
First and foremost, that is a fantastic way to end the show. That's a very cool idea. And what's making me smile right now? Anybody from the office who is going to be listening to this is going to groan and roll their eyes because they hear me talk about it every day. But my alma mater, Marshall University basketball, is on an absolute tear right now. So they have been making me smile a lot over the past month. Off to their best 20-game start since 1987.
Awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
It's awesome. Shelley, what's making you smile this week?
I think Saturday on the horizon, really, having a CFC match. So it'll be fun to get the TIFO out, get the bubbles out, you know, all of that. And then skillet curling as well. So I've got two of my favorite things in one day. I might be, you know, asleep at CBC by the time Saturday is over with. But you know what? I'll be smiling as I sleep because it'll just be a very, like, heart fun day, like all of the things that I love.
Todd, what's making you smile?
Tonight, officially started the high school soccer season here in Northwest Georgia. So, I got to get back out and, see some of the local flavors. Started out with Northwest Whitfield versus Cahulla Creek, which is just a little cross county rivalry. So that was fun and it keeps rolling right on into tomorrow night. So yeah, I'm excited about the high school soccer being back in full swing.
Awesome. I have to say, what's making me smile so far, I did not know how much better this Arsenal team would be. You knew I was going to say something, Todd. I'm sorry.
Gross. But it feels good, though. Feels good that, to be an Arsenal fan right now.
That last-minute winner against Manchester United made me smile. And dare I say, they are starting to make me believe. And you know, hope is a dangerous thing. I still know there's 19 games to go, but watching that team has been a real delight. I will say other thing. The last couple of times I've said something I've watched, I've started to watch this show on Netflix called Wilder. It is a crime drama from Switzerland, and it's in Swiss German. I'm sorry, but it's a good show. So that's another thing. If you're still looking for something to watch, go do that. Or if you just want to watch something from the sports world, why don't you just be a gooner. Just
exactly.
Something from the sports world that's comical and will give you a good laugh and a smile on your face, just follow along with U.S. soccer. It's always good.
Oh, my Lord.
Todd.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Sam, where can folks find you on the internet if they want to hear your musings or connect with you?
Yeah, that's absolutely a great question. And I do plan on being featured on every single Twitter page known to man, at least by the end of February. So you can check it. Or if you want a really direct route, you can always email me at the club email, samuel@chattanoogafc.com. I'm active on pretty much all social medias as well. So if you just search Sam Click, I'm sure I will be the first one to pop up. So feel free to give me a follow and reach out if you ever want to chat CFC or really anything else. So yeah, samuel@chattanoogafc.com or find me on social media. I'd be more than happy to connect.
Sweet. Shelly, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShellyAirs82.
Todd?
You find me on Twitter, Great Footballer, and over on Instagram as well as Facebook on our Monday Night Football account. That's FUTBOL. And, of course, it's always a Great Footballer. And then the 423 Soccer Pod on Facebook.
Hey, how did that first show go? I guess you showed up. I saw a picture.
Oh, yeah. So we had full participation by all 8 schools, 16 teams represented. It went really well. And it's amazing how fast a 7-minute segment will go by on TV with two coaches.
Awesome. Well, if you're interested, you can find me on Twitter at Chattagooner. You can mute me, block me, whatever you'd like to do. For now, until Elon unless Elon continues to destroy the platform, I will stay on the Twitter.
Destroying the platform, yet saving the internet.
Apparently.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Well, saving the internet for folks who live in Bradley County.
More people, well, too.
Hey, it's here. It is beyond game week. We are almost just a little over 48 hours or under 48 hours away from CFC football being back. And I cannot wait to see everyone there. Get your tickets if you don't have them. Don't be a me and wait any longer. Go ahead and get that annual pass and get the club pass. I know we'll be talking more about the women's team in the weeks to come, but we're really excited to find out more news about that too. But until Saturday, and we see you in Finley Stadium, go CFC.
Go Blues.